Okay, so go ahead and open up, just get ready. Romans chapter 6. Before we get started, first and foremost, I just want to thank all you guys for praying for my family and I. Some of you guys know the saga that's been going on in the last few months. For some of you who don't know, I've been diagnosed with asthma when I was 4 years old, had it pretty bad. Went through the stupid teenage years and a lot of stuff that made it worse. But 8 years ago, election day, 8 years ago, so the day that Obama was elected, I was in a fire. And ever since then, my life has never been the same. I used to be an apartment manager, and I was training up the new guy, and I was showing him how to change out an oven. And the rule of thumb is you pull the oven away from the wall, and you turn off the gas. Well, I went there to turn off the gas. The valve fell apart, and I was consumed by fire. And praise the Lord, no physical problems out here, or where you can see. But after that, I was diagnosed with COPD. Whatever happened in the fire exacerbated what I already had. And again, my life has never been the same. Now, I'm in and out of the hospital many times. I was in the hospital about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Now we have a new issue, and this is where I'm asking for your guys' prayer. Since the long-term use of the different medication for my lungs kind of speeds up my heart, well, my heart's out of rhythm. I have an AFib, they said. Last time I went in the hospital, I went for breathing, but I went for that because I think my heart rate was like 200. That's pretty bad. So calming down took, with all the stuff, took about an hour to get my heart rate where they're comfortable. But now what they want to do this coming Tuesday, they want to do a procedure where they want to go in under my belly and up to my heart and give me a little zap to get it back on track. So we covered your guys' prayers. Also, in this last week, my wife and I lost a loved one. Shannon's sister passed away. So if you can just keep us in prayer, keep my wife in prayer, you know. But we know with all these things happening, God is still good. Amen. And God is still in control. What doesn't kill us makes us stronger. Amen? Amen. In the Lord. Because we draw our strength from Him. So, with that, I'm going to pray again and we'll get into God's Word. Father, again, we thank You that no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, You are in control. So, Father, no matter what all of us are going through, good, bad, that we can trust and depend on You. So we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I get started, do we have any veterans in the house? If we do, please stand up. Any veterans, stand up. Thank you for your service. You may be seated. Father, I thank You for our military service, Lord, our veterans. Thank You, Lord, for the sacrifice they made for our freedom. So, Lord, I do pray as we just recognize those. Lord, just bless them and bless their families. So we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Okay, so what we're going to look at today, Pastor Mark asked me to teach for him about 2 months ago. And just to let you know, he's back from Israel. He called me this morning. Good to go. He caught a cold at the very last day. So praise God, it's at the end. So he was a little stuffy when he was talking, but he's doing okay. So he's resting today. And I got his back today. He's probably really tired. But praying about a message, the Lord kind of gave me two messages that kind of the Holy Spirit birthed into one. So I hope you guys are challenged, convicted, blessed, whatever the Holy Spirit wants, I pray it happens today. What we're going to look at today is the resurrected life and where we belong, and that's in the center of God's will. So let's look at Romans chapter 6, where it talks about the dead to sin, but alive to God. It says in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Question mark. Right here, we see Paul's teaching back in the previous chapter, in chapter 5, in verse 20 and 21, that the increased sin brings increased grace was liable for distortion. Some might claim that if by sinning they were providing God an opportunity to display the greatness of His grace, then they should sin more and more. We'll look at verse 2. Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live in it any longer? The idea of a Christian continuing in sin is entirely contrary to the gospel. Sin is hateful and destructive, and those who have died to the love of sin and the ruling power of sin should never want to live in it anymore. Guys, you have to remember, old things have passed away, all things become new. Little bit of my testimony. Growing up, I wasn't the most smart kid. Started trying smoking pot when I was 8 years old. By the time I was 12, you name it. For about 20 years. Well, in 94, the Lord got a hold of my life at the Harvest Crusade and changed my life forever. And I never, ever want to go back to that. We have been delivered. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And I know all you guys have testimonies too. But it's by His grace. It's by His love that keeps me staying where I need to be. Sometimes we turn away from our sin, but sometimes we turn back to it. But it says in verse 3, do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. There's that resurrected life. Our old man is our pre-conversion life that we were before becoming a Christian under the restrained dominion of the flesh, which is the sinful nature. The body of sin refers to the sinful nature within us, not to the human body. The Greek verb translation, done away with, does not mean to become extinct, but become defeated or deprived of its power. Even as Christians, we blow it. Because we're knuckleheads. We make mistakes. We fall into sin. But we're not in bondage to sin. And as we sin, we repent. And if one of you guys, pull a youth group trick on you guys, can quote for me, say it loud, 1 John 1:9. I know someone out there knows it. I know my youth do. Anybody? You can cheat and use your Bible if you want. Okay, but wrong one. 1 John 1:9. But that's okay. I like that too. You just added to my message. Go for it, RJ. Did you guys hear that? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us for all unrighteousness. Guys, we have a great God. But a lot of times, for some reason, we forget that we are not that old person anymore. Verse 5. For we have been united together in the likeness of His death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. The Bible says the Son sets free, we are free indeed. Now verse 8, for if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead to indeed to sin, but alive to God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Dead to sin basically means not controlled by the sin or the power of sin in our lives. Dead to its enslaving power, but not dead to all its influences. You're going to be influenced that spiritual battle that we face with our sinful nature and the spirit. And being tempted. You know, in James, it talks about being tempted and how sin is birthed It's basically about, you know, being enticed in the desire, and then it's birth. And of course, it's not God tempting us. We always have the master tempter, Satan. But sometimes, he doesn't really need to help us too much, does he? Sometimes we're our worst enemy. And he just adds on to that. And we need to be careful. We need to be on guard. We need to know the word of God. And we need to understand who we are in Christ. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's no longer I live, but him lives within me. I just put two verses together. But it's okay. But we need to continue to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive in God. Verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall have no dominion over you. You are not under the law, but you are under grace. We have a continual choice, day after day, whether to yield ourselves to sin or God. It's your choice. God's given us a free will. When you are in that position, who are you going to choose? Is the Spirit strong enough in your life to give you that conviction and that power to overcome this? Because we have that power. But guys, when we're slacking and not being diligent but spending time with him, we need to develop that strong personal relationship with him. And one thing I've learned in my journey is I really rely on God's word. How many here in this room have life verses? Okay, praise God. Saturday night service, there was one. I felt like, wow, we're strange. Just kidding. Life verses to me is Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Please turn with me there. These verses, when I was turned on to them by a pastor friend of mine in a Baptist church, when I was first kind of getting involved in ministry, you know, just struggling, kind of figure all this out. I was kind of thinking too much, struggling with just the things from my past, but letting them condemn me, discourage me, and it just seemed like I couldn't get past that. And he showed me these verses and told me to practice them every day, and it changed my life forever. Let's go ahead and look at chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And there's one translation that talks about that, or the spiritual act of worship, and I really like that. In verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Guys, each and every day, we need to go and present our lives over to him. Continually. We need to build that strong personal relationship with him. Some of you guys know our youth group catchphrase is intimacy produces consistency, or you can flip it around, consistency produces intimacy. The more you spend time with God, the more consistent your walk's going to be. And the more consistent it's going to be, the more intimate it's going to be. God longs just have that love relationship with you, to commune with you, to help you. And it's amazing as we let him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through his word, through prayer, through fellowship, how it transforms us. And I like verse 2 because we've got to be careful. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Guys, we cannot conform to this world or our former selves. We need to present our lives every day, every fiber to him, as an instrument for him. And not be conformed, but be renewed. Renewing your mind through the word of God. What I like to do is every morning when I take a shower, that's where my prayer time is. By myself, I love with the waters that hit me on the head and just focusing on God. And what I do is this, Lord, I present everything over to you. Whatever's going on, good, bad, or ugly, use me. And help me, Lord, to stay away from the things that can distract me from you. You know, I just encourage you guys to build that type of relationship with him. No matter what's going on, how long you've been doing this, sometimes we've been doing this a long time, we plateau, we cool off, whatever, we let all things get in our lives to distract us. But by God's grace, he's always there with open arms, right? Always ready to receive us. And I love that. All that we are, we need to give to him daily and throughout the day. And in knowing that, it should develop a strong personal relationship with the Lord. As you develop your relationship, it's important to remember we have a living hope and a living and a heavenly inheritance. And our living hope is Jesus Christ. And one day, guys, we'll be with him. And that's glorious. That outweighs everything that's going on right now. But we have to stay focused. We have to stop getting into stupid arguments about things that, you know what, we have no control over, like our presidency. I've got some giggles. I just find it so amusing. Christians are getting so worked up, hot and bothered. And I understand, you know, some crazy stuff, but it's causing them to sin. God's in control no matter what, who's president, amen? You know, we're stuck with Trump for 4 years, so what do? We pray. We agree to disagree. We need to keep the unity. Because he's not our master in chief, is he? No, Jesus is. But we need to pray for him, because you know he could get saved. And then praise the Lord. You see what I'm saying? But we're so focused on the negative. You know, we're looking at the situation, circumstance, and we're not looking to Jesus to fix the situation or circumstance. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercies, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's interesting right here where it talks about begotten us, refers to the new birth, where the same Greek verb is rendered having been born again. And the living Christ makes it possible for that living hope. And then one day, knowing that we're going to be with him forever, should really help us to maintain our focus upon him. We put our hopes in so many different things, but not him. Again, we have to stop giving just pieces of ourselves to the Lord and surrender everything to him. Everything. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Everything. Flip with me one page to chapter 1, verse 13. And then knowing this should help us understand how to live before God our Father. Verse 13 says, therefore, gird up your loins, I always say lions, of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, right here, not conforming yourself to the former lusts of your ignorance, but he who has called you is holy, also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The holy nature of God is the motivation for Christian holiness. And we need to understand that. We can't conform ourselves to the way that we used to be. That person's dead. We need to pursue godliness through the power of the Holy Spirit. What's interesting that I've learned, maybe I'm just the special one here, is I make this way much harder than it really has to be. I just need to let go and let the Holy Spirit just do his work within through me. He's indwelling. I just need to let go and just spend time with him. And he says he's going to do what he needs to do. We just need to stop resisting. You know, and I understand things get in the way. Going through what I go through, it's not easy. I don't enjoy it, but I'm understanding it. It's the Lord's will. And I know one day, if he doesn't heal me here, he'll be healed in heaven. And that's my hope. What's awesome, I don't want time to get away from me, but every time I go to the hospital, I always have a pretty cool experience. When I first got there, heart was freaking out. So, of course, I was freaking out. I don't know if you guys ever had your heart rate get really high, and yeah, and that just makes it worse because you start thinking about it, and then I couldn't breathe. But when I got there, God was so merciful and gracious that the four people that worked on me were all believers, encouraging me, loving on me, cracking jokes. One of them says, if you don't calm down, you're going to go see Jesus tonight. But you know what? That just, and with my sense of humor, that works. But what's awesome, experiencing St. Jude, I love that place. Just to let you know, everyone I've experienced there, nothing but love. Nothing but love. Man, I'm probably going to have my name on one of the rooms soon. But what's interesting, a couple days later, out of the blue, I have one of my old young adults around 9 o'clock at night walk through my room, walk into my room. Haven't seen this guy in 5 or 6 months. I'm like, whoa. Well, I guess Shannon put it on Facebook that I was in the hospital. He read that and he came. Now, this is the awesome part. Well, not awesome, but it was an awesome experience. He's having a hard time. He's going through a divorce, praying for him, but he's really gotten his eyes back on the Lord. So we spent 4 hours reading and praying together. It's funny, he goes, hey, if you don't want people to know where you're at, tell your wife not to put you on Facebook. True story. But what's awesome, I didn't just bless him. I was blessed because I got to do what I love to do. Is to share God's word and love on people. And I love this kid. You know, and he was just so raw and just ready to receive what God had for him, even in a hardcore situation. So, no matter what, it's all worth it. In our journey, you'll experience conflict through trials, but stay put in his will. It's the only place to grow. Turn back with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, listen, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been received by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ Jesus, and whom you have not seen you love. Through now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. I love this. There's a reason why we go through these trials. You know, we're tested by fire, and it shows us the genuineness of our faith and who our allegiance is really to. And as we know, as we flip over into Romans chapter 5, so turn with me there. And the caption of my Bible says right here, faith triumphs in trouble. There's a reason why we go through these things that God allows us to go through. But no matter what, we need to understand that's where God wants us to be. So we need to stay in the center of his will. And when we don't, he still loves us. Amen? Amen. He shows grace. But we just need to turn back to him. We need to abide in him and cling to him. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom you also have access by faith into grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The whole Christian life is a result of God's grace in which we stand. His favor and provision in Christ that we do not deserve. It is a gift, and it is a precious gift. And not only, verse 3, that we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And now this hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I love this. When our Christian character goes through hardship, hope of receiving what God promised helps us to grow stronger. Knowing the end result of this, and I'm victorious now, and in heaven I'll be with him forever, that does so much for my hope from what I'm going through right now. And I encourage you guys, no matter what you're going through, what you're struggling with, always maintain your hope in Jesus Christ, that one day he's coming for us. And it looks like he's coming soon. Praise the Lord. I'm very excited about that. But as we wait, we continue to trust and seek him, be a reflection of him, no matter what the cost. We know that our future hope, or we know that the hope of our great future blessings will not turn out false, because the Holy Spirit has given us lavish evidence in our hearts of God's love for us. And I pray as we have this strong personal relationship with him, that this develops this love relationship you have with him. So everything we need is in who? Jesus. It's a no-brainer. But we need to continue to lay down our lives. We need to be students of the Word. And I know I've done this. This is my third time doing this message, so I don't know if I asked this. How many in this room read your Bibles yesterday? Raise your hand. What about this morning? Okay. I'm not trying to convict anybody. I'm trying to encourage and challenge you guys. Read your Word every day. Pray every day. Not in a habit-forming way, but in an awesome experience to develop that intimacy he wants with you. Because it will do wonders for your walk. And it will make you more consistent of showing your love to one another and to this crazy mixed up world. And be used. It's awesome to be needed, huh? I love when God uses me. And I love when people are there for me. And we need to continue to show that type of love, because it's very attractive to the outside world. These things we go through, believe it or not, helps us, keeps us where we need to be. But at least it should. It's your choice. God is allowing these things to happen, but are you responding to them in the right way? Or are you letting it cause distance? Are you getting bitter? I have my moments, where sometimes I get upset for what I go through. My biggest sin in my life is the sin of fear and not trusting God. I'm being honest. God still loves me. He's still there. But he wants me to get my eyes back on him. But we need to keep looking up, guys. We need to maintain that focus. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. I just love this chapter. Colossians chapter 3, let's look at the first 11 verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth." We need to set our mind on eternal things, guys. "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is your life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off that old man and his deeds, talking about that old man from Romans, who is renewed in the knowledge, or do not lie to one another, since you have put off that old man and his deeds, verse 10, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but all is in Christ. Guys, we need to continue to pursue after godliness. We need to focus our thoughts and attentions on the things that are important to God. Understand, when we die, when Christ died, for our sinful nature died. Our sinful nature died too. For our life is now hidden in God. I love that. We need to pay attention to the things that are important to God. And guys, there's awesome opportunities through this church to reach out to people who do not know the Lord with the homeless ministries. There's a lot of people out there that need to hear the love of God. And guys, taking food to them, just showing that you care, that does wonders. Some of you guys know that the youth, we also do a thing with the homeless on the third Saturday every month called Mary's Kitchen. It's a soup kitchen over here in Orange. And we go there and we get a chance to cook the food, serve the food, hand out clothes, spend time with them. They can get haircuts. There's doctors there for them, like a little clinic. Even to a point, if you're brave enough, to wash their feet. I'll tell you right now, some of you guys are like, yuck, hey man, Jesus did it. And doing that, I mean, that just shows God's love. And just the people are just so happy that you're showing them attention. And you're sharing them, or sharing to them about Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need to look on the internal things, the things that matter to God. But we need to continue to run this race, guys. We need to continue to stand strong. Let's turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And here's the key. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, whom for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Guys, we need to focus on God and not get so distracted. You know, he uses the analogy of a runner must not look at the other contestants, but must keep his eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. We get so distracted by everybody else and what everybody else is doing, where it's not even any of our business. Sorry. Serious. I do it sometimes, but we need to stop. We waste so much time, it's ridiculous. We're even using that time to minister to one another. You know what's funny is, I'm going to botch this, but bear with me and show grace. In one of the Gospels, it's a story. After Jesus rose, his boys were back fishing. They're in the boat. Jesus is on the shore cooking the fish. You guys remember that story? And Peter went to the shore, and God reinstated him because he denied him three times. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. After that great experience, Peter was basically bothered and said something, well, what about John? And Jesus said, don't worry about John. Isn't that amazing how our flesh works, our sinful nature? We need to focus that task at hand and what God can do in us and through us. We must not get distracted. And whatever comes our way, do not be moved, because our key is our faith in him, trusting him, and obedience. He wants obedience from his people. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 6. And let's look at verse 15. Again, the little caption in my Bible says, from slaves of sin to slaves of God. Guys, we need to remember that God is our master in chief. He is our master, the Lord of our lives. We need to become slaves of God and slaves of righteousness. Not return back to the slaves of sin, because those chains have already been broken. We need to walk in that newness and that resurrected life. We need to remember that that old man is dead. We need to remember we need to present our lives each and every day as a living sacrifice unto Him. Developing that strong relationship with Him. Understanding that we have that living hope with Him. But we need to pursue godliness and holy conduct. We need to remember that trials are for us and not against us. And we need to maintain our focus to look up and keep our eyes on Jesus. But we need to submit completely to the Lord our God. In verse 15, we see this again, as in verse 1. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves, slaves to obey, you are the one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that through you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from your heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Because as I shared earlier, the Son that sets free is free indeed. I speak in human terms, verse 19, because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when we were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God and have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Amen. We all know this verse, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I love this so much. You know, it's interesting. A person is a slave to that which he gives obedience, or that which he recognizes as his master. If we obey the commands of sin, then sin is his master, and he is moving in the direction of eternal death. At the while experience death-like existence in life now. But if he obeys the command of righteousness, the righteousness is his master, and he experiences true life. And we need to understand that, come to grips with that. I want to share something I found really interesting in my study Bible. Well, before I go there, become slaves of God and of righteousness. Understand that in Jesus you are set free from the slavery of sin. So we established that. Right here, we need to cultivate a dynamic devotion to the Lord. The message of Romans should cause our hearts to worship the Lord. This message of grace and God's unfailing love invites us to devote ourselves wholly to the Lord. Jesus died for us while we were still sinners, demonstrating for all the time the love that God has for us. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us, to open our heart and our mind to understand the depths of God's love. Then ask Him to enable us to express our devotion through true worship. And true worship is not, this is worship in song. True worship is our lifestyle unto Him, guys. We need to worship Him in everything. Bring glory to Him. And we even bring glory to Him in our weaknesses.